If you have your Bibles, won't you turn with me again to Matthew chapter 6? We're going to pick up where we were busy with last week on the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6. Amen. I'm not going to preach for long this morning. It's more an exhortation. And then we want to just spend time praying for one another this morning and praying as a church together in this season of prayer for our nation. And we're looking at the subject of money matters. We've been looking at the subject of finances and money matters before we get to Easter. And really, it's to help us getting a biblical view on our finances and to stir faith amongst us as well for what God can do amongst us. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We do pray that you would speak to us this morning and move us forward as a congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so we've been looking together at the Lord's Prayer, and we focus specifically on Matthew 6. And we looked at verse 11 together, and I'm going to read the whole of the Lord's Prayer, but verse 11 is the one we're focusing on. And so Jesus said, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Amen. And so, friends, I just think it's great that we're looking at this subject this morning of money matters. We've called it money matters because we're going through a time in our nation where right across the nation, there is things are bubbling, things are stirring, things are brewing. And we're hearing words like state capture, capturing the treasury. We preached on this last Sunday. On Monday, or was it Tuesday, we got downgraded to junk status as a nation. And you might not realize the implications of that, but I was listening to an economist. That means we'll probably lose about 100,000 jobs because of that, which will impact about 1 million people in this country. So it is serious. And we're looking at the falling rand and economic uncertainty. And are we going to see, as people say, true economic radical and true economic empowerment of the poor? Or are we going to see a few politically connected people just getting richer and richer in this country? These are the questions we need to ask ourselves. It's a battle, really, around wealth and resources. It might have racial involvement, but it's really a battle, as I said last week, about wealth and resources. And we saw what happened prior to 94 and our democratic elections as the church began to pray and as the church began to awaken and rise up. And we're finding at this time that is exactly what's beginning to happen. The church is beginning to rise up and beginning to pray as well about God's intervention and about true empowerment of the poor. And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't put your name down yet, make every effort to come along to Bloemfontein. Let's see if we can fill that 60-seater bus. We're going to probably have to ask other churches and so on, but let's see if we cannot fill it ourselves and go up and pray together, because this is the time for the church's voice to be heard. And it's interesting for me because I've lived through, it's interesting, the longer you live, the as you look back, you see things God has done. And we were marching and doing stuff in the 80s and the 90s praying for a new government in South Africa. It's good to have Nigel and Lisa here. They were part of that. As we prayed together, as we stood up, as we marched together, I was involved in lots of marches. I had marching shoes and we used to do a lot of marching as we marched and prayed. And we used to have these most fervent prayer meetings. Lord, heal our nation. And we prayed together. And it wasn't just prayer as well. But we also, as a group of churches in the Cape, we looked at from Luke's story, Luke 19 on Zacchaeus. We looked at the life of Zacchaeus when Jesus stepped into his life and completely changed his life. On the cross hung a man who redefined who I am. And he redefined the life of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus said to Jesus, "Jesus, right now, if I've cheated anyone, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor and pay back half. If we pay back four times if I've defrauded anyone," which was the requirement under Old Testament law. And we looked at churches as this and we said, what can we do? And we took up a restitution fund. And we looked at those of us that had bought houses under the apartheid. in my own life, Shannon and I sat down and said, we bought a house and others weren't able to buy houses back then. And we saw what profit we made. And we took a sizable portion of that profit and we sowed it into the townships. We sowed it into Khayelitsha. And we gave money away as well. And we began to pray and God began to move. And so we're not just talking about keeping the status quo for a few middle class folk. We're talking about genuine change. And even as we prayed for change back then, we're praying for change now as well, that God would intervene in our nation. Can you say amen? That's what we are praying for in these days. And friends, this nation is in trouble at the moment and we need to pray. We need to come together as the church and pray. And we were praying before for the collapse of apartheid. We had times we marched and we stood against injustice. We stood against oppression. We marched in the townships. The police confronted us. We lived through that. Many of you don't know that history. We don't always talk about it. We were involved in one march in Guguletu where we were praying and people from Jubilee came with kids and families came out as we were praying for justice and we were praying with other church leaders. I'm not sure, I don't know if you were there that prayer meeting. And we were praying and suddenly the church leaders came to me and they said, we need to march to the local police station and hand a petition in. And the next thing I knew, we were marching down the road and the thing just grew and grew and grew and grew. And I looked around and I realized this thing was getting dangerous. And I was right in the front. And the thing, we turned around the corner and the next thing there were police standing there and they said, we're not going to let you go any further. And this was in the early 90s. And there were thousands of people behind us. And I was in the front, a young pastor in Cape Town. And they kind of pushed me forward. And I was standing forward and the special branch police guy was standing there. And I was standing here as a pastor at the prayer meeting. And he said, you're not coming any further. And I didn't know what to do. And I thought, this situation is explosive. I don't know what's going to happen. And I just prayed. I said, Lord, help me. And I looked, and on his, you know, on his lapel, on his, I saw his name was Buerta. And I said the craziest thing. I said, you know what? I said to him, your name is Buerta and my name is Buerta. Your name is Buerta and my name is Buerta. I said, and because of that, there's not going to be any trouble here today. And he said, okay. And I said, so just let us please march, give the petition, and then we're going to break up peacefully. And he said, okay. And they opened up, and we marched through, and we hand our petition in, and we left again. And I got home, and I just collapsed. I said to Sharon, oh, boy, help us, Lord. And friends, all I'm saying is that when the church begins to pray and when the church gets involved, things do change. And I want us to hear this call of Angus when he says it's time now for us to be praying. And I feel it is time for us to be praying like never before. It was good to see more people at our prayer meeting on Wednesday as we pray together for God to give us good government, to God to give us righteous government, for things to change in our nation. That's what we're praying for at a time like this. And we prayed back then and suddenly we're praying again for God to move in our nation. That's what we're praying for, because we know that this whole world's monetary system functions on the principle of buying and selling and laying up treasures on earth. And you have a feeling this is a battle for treasure. It's a battle for resources and who commands those resources. But God's economic system functions on the principle not of buying and selling, but of giving and receiving and laying up treasures in heaven. It's very different. And every time we give to God, every time we tithe and we give money away, we're basically breaking up with a potential lover called Mammon. And we're saying, Lord, we belong to you. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We want to be good citizens on earth, but we're also connected to Jesus. And when you give, it becomes, and when you pray, it becomes a demonstration of your loyalty to Jesus. And the church can do amazing things when it begins to pray. And over all this country at the moment, the church is beginning to awaken and beginning to pray. And I think it can unite us as never before. Hallelujah. it can unite us as never before. So that was just my little introduction saying, let's pray. Let's trust the Lord for God to do things in this nation. It's not about black and white ultimately. It's about God's righteousness, God's kingdom coming, God giving us good government, and for the poor to be uplifted. That's really what it's all about as well. And so last week we looked at the Lord's Prayer together, especially verse 11, give us today our daily bread. And we saw that God is able to provide for us constantly. We need not fear, but believe that God answers prayer. We need to remember God's past provision. We were saying last week, not worry about tomorrow, but in faith expect God to bless us and help us. We need not fear the future because we know He who holds the future. Can you say amen? But it also means that we need to pray together. The Bible says, give us our daily bread. It's not just give me, but give us. We're in this together as the family of God. We're in it together. And we need to pray with one another, as we'll do at the end of this message, that God would provide for us and provide for our friends. Galatians 6 verse 10 says, let us do good to all people, but especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Hallelujah. So in that sense, charity does begin at home. But today I just want to focus again on Matthew 6:11 and ask ourselves, what happens when we begin to pray together? What happens when we unite together in prayer? I believe that powerful things happen. I believe that corporate gatherings and believing prayer becomes a powerful vehicle for God to move in His power and His intervention. And a few points this morning. Number one, when we pray together, it begins with remembering firstly who we are. Who are we? Who we are? And we've often spoken about being a Spirit-filled church. And we can trace the breakthrough in the early church to the coming of the Spirit upon the early church. Jesus said to the early church, don't begin your mission until you receive the Spirit. And the Spirit fell on them and they began their mission as well. And we're saying that is what South Africa needs at the moment, are Spirit-filled communities demonstrating the life of God to our nation. Hallelujah. That's what we're looking for. And the same God who tabernacled in the wilderness, the same God who filled Solomon's temple with His glory, now dwells in us, the Bible says. The God dwells in us. That's who we are. We're the temple of God. We're the people of God. And when we gather, God's presence is in our midst. God is amongst us. And friends, I believe we need to move beyond just awareness of God's presence to begin to tap into the power and the authority that God has given us in the church to see things happen. Hallelujah. And so Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3:16, he says to them, they had division in the church and were going through conflict. He says, do you not know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells within you? So when we begin to pray, it starts first of all with understanding who we are, that we are the people of God. We're gathering together to pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, people often leave that bit out, and turn from their wicked ways, humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will begin to heal their land, the Bible says. And so the early church gathered to celebrate God's presence. They gathered with an awareness that Jesus had risen, but He was present amongst them. And so rather than going to church, they gathered as the church to fellowship in His presence. They were aware that God was amongst them. They were the temple of God. The church is called the ecclesia, the called out ones. And so we're not just an organization. We're not a building. But we're the called out ones. We're this community of believers gathering unto God. And when we pray, God hears us and God moves amongst us. And we must keep gathering. The church is the church when it gathers. And we must keep gathering. And when you have these big gatherings like in Bloemfontein, when the church comes together to pray in this way, it releases the power of God. Begin to pray in unity. Things happen. Things change. Whole nations can change because of the prayers of the gathered church. Hallelujah. And Paul says that right through his writings, he says, do you not know who you are? And when you gather, there's power. There's power. There's power to pray. In 1 Corinthians 5, there was an issue of discipline in the church. But in 1 Corinthians 5, he again gives us a hint of what he means when he says, in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 4, he says, For though I'm absent in body, I'm present in spirit. And if present, I've already pronounced judgment on the one who would do such a thing. So when you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of the Lord Jesus, you're to hand this man over to Satan, and on he goes. And so he says, when you assemble together as the church, the Spirit of God is in your midst. God is present. Friends, God is here today as we gather, as the temple. There's a power. And stuff happens, my second point, stuff happens when we pray together. Stuff happens when we pray together. So in Matthew, Jesus says, in Matthew chapter 7, he says, therefore ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For whoever asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Which one of you, if his son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? How much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask? This father-son relationship. So he says, knock. Keep knocking. Ask. Seek. And you will find. And God will open the door. And friends, we've seen the power of corporate prayer. We've seen it in getting this building. God gave us this building. We prayed for years for God to give us a spiritual home. And he gave us this building with very little money. It is an absolute miracle, not just that we got the building, but how we got the building. That how we got the building. So we want to buy your building from the Dutch Reform. We just have a problem. We don't have enough money. Can we pay it off? Can you kind of allow us to do that? And it was just incredible what happened at that time. I had Grant Crawford from NCF phoning me saying, we heard you guys are good with getting buildings from, you know, the Dutch Reformed Church, and there's another Dutch Reformed Church. What did you do? How did you do that? I said, well, you must have a few guys who can speak Afrikaans, first of all, in your leadership team. That always helps. But Afrikaans and Cook Sisters will kind of get you in there. But so you say, okay, what do you do next? And they've also got a Dutch Reformed building, and we helped them with that as well. So we've seen answers to prayer as we've prayed. God has done stuff for us. So in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is telling us again about the church, when the church gathers. And in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, he says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He's talking about proclaiming the gospel, declaring God's forgiveness over people. The church has been given the keys of the kingdom. Again, I say to you, listen to this. If any two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. Hallelujah. And so what this is saying, even in small meetings, it's talking either about the church, your small group, or the home as well. Some commentators are saying two or three are gathered, can be a mom and a dad and a kid. Can be a few people in the home where two or three are gathered in my name. Lord, we're gathering in the name of Jesus. You need to know I'm in your midst. I'm in your midst. If you agree together asking in prayer, it shall be done for you. There's power in corporate prayer. There's power in agreement. It releases the power of God. As we agree on earth, it releases things in the heavenly realms. God says, I'm watching what you're doing. I'm watching how you're praying. When you come together in unity and ask in my name, it shall be done for you. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean the answer might happen in a few seconds. It may take time. God may deal with you in particular, but God hears and God answers. Agreement on earth releases power from heaven. And I want to suggest it's an area I think we've hardly explored. The power of corporate prayer. And if you want to know how revival comes, it's when the church gathers and starts praying and praying and praying to God. Hallelujah. And in the situation we find ourselves in South Africa right now, united prayer will bring down God's blessing on this land such as never before and move us forward and change the situation. Prayer moves the hand of God and unlocks the storehouses of God's riches. It's a call that moves heaven on behalf of earth. It releases the power of God upon us. I've seen it so many times in my own life. We had a situation in Cape Town years ago. One of my good friends, Francois, their kid was born. I told you the story before. Little girl, she was born premature. He could hold her in his hand like this. She was so small. And she was born with a hole in her heart. And the doctor said, look, this does not look good. It just doesn't look good. It doesn't look like she's going to survive. And I remember one prayer meeting we used to pray on a Saturday morning, I think it was. And we gathered to pray. And we were praying for him. And you know, we were going through prayer. And then suddenly, a spirit of prayer came upon us. And a spirit of intercession came upon us. And we cried out to God for this little baby girl. And you could feel the presence of God in the room. And you could feel things were beginning to happen. And afterwards, the doctor said to us, it's just been miraculous. They had to operate in that, but it's miraculous. She survived. And she's married now, and she's got kids of her own. Hallelujah. And when Francois phoned me, he said, now I'm a granddad. I'm an Mkulu as well. Hallelujah. I thought back to that prayer meeting. And I realized sometimes corporate prayer has implications for generations to come. As we pray together, hallelujah, moves the hand of God. We find in Acts chapter 4 when the church gathered and they prayed together, they said, Lord, stretch out your hand to perform signs and wonders. The place was shaken and filled with the Holy Spirit again. I don't even think we've scratched the surface in terms of corporate prayer. CCP have been praying every morning at 7 o'clock, gathering the staff to pray every morning, praying for God to break in. And God will break in because of that. Samuel Chadwick says, the one concern of the devil is to keep saints from prayer. He fears nothing from prayerless religion, but he trembles when we start to pray together. Hallelujah. And so, friends, I would encourage us. We've broken bread already, so my notes have changed now. But I would encourage us this morning. We're going to gather and pray in a few moments. But I would encourage us to not forget who we are. We're the people of God. That's who we are. Yes, we're South Africans, but we're also the people of God. And the Corinthians had forgotten who they were. They'd forgotten what Jesus had done for them. And the Lord's Supper had become a disgrace. There were divisions, and some were eating and forgetting the poor. Others were getting drunk at their love feasts. They'd forgotten what Jesus had done for them. And they were sinning against fellow Christians for whom Jesus died. And so we must remember Jesus and also be aware of others when we pray. And ask in the name of Jesus and ask in the presence of God for God to move. Ask in the presence of God. And that's what Paul's saying to the Corinthians. I read that scripture earlier. He says, when you gather together, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, in the first place, when you come together as the church, he says, there are divisions amongst you. So the Corinthians didn't fail to gather, but they messed it up when they did gather. But I'm saying this morning, let's not mess it up. Let's come together in faith. Let's come together united. Let's come together and pray. Let's come together and ask God to do stuff in this nation and in our own lives. Maybe you're facing some financial difficulty at the moment. We're going to pray for you this morning that God would break through in your life. Hallelujah. God would break through in your life. We're also going to keep praying for our nation. And I sense that this call to prayer and this prayer meeting, I think we're going to see things shift in this nation quite soon. I think God is going to do stuff in this nation. God is at work in this nation, and he's awakening us to pray together. And so as we look at the subject of money matters, we need to stir our hearts. We need to stir faith this morning. We need to remember who we are. We need to remember that stuff happens when we pray. It's not just saying our prayers, but there's power. Two or three of you gather and agree together, it shall be done by my Father in heaven, says Jesus. There's power when we gather to pray. There's power when we look up to God and say, oh Lord, hear our prayer. And we can do that in the church, but we can do that at home as well. And I just feel we're in this season at the church. We've come back to that place again. We'll be praying for our nation. Politicians are not going to get this right, as you may know. They have a role to play. We must pray for those in power. But we are the church. And we get together and we pray. And when we pray, things happen. And things shift. And God gets involved. Hallelujah. And things change in the heavenly realms. Hallelujah. And God is at work in our nation. We don't pray with unbelief. We don't pray in fear. We pray trusting God. Lord, give us today our daily bread. Lord, won't you intervene in our nation? Won't you give us good government? Won't you help us with our personal finances? As we begin to pray in these ways, God breaks in. God intervenes. Suddenly God comes. God, listen carefully. Sometimes God takes a long time to do things suddenly. You pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray. And you think, what's happening? Your prayers are being collected in heaven. God's collecting them. God's getting ready. It's like incense coming up. God's taking a long time, getting ready, and then suddenly God moves. Suddenly things happen. Thank goodness, what happened? Suddenly God moves. Your prayers are being collected. God is getting ready, and then suddenly God moves. And the whole situation changes completely. And you can wake up within a week in South Africa, and it will happen that way. And suddenly the whole situation will change. Think, how did that happen? It happened because the church was praying. It happened because we looked to God. Our Father who art in heaven, God's heard our prayer. Where two or three are gathered in my name, touching any one thing, it will be agreed on. And friends, I believe that's what we need to do this morning. In our finances, as we pray for the nation, as we pray for lots of things, come and pray. Wednesday evening, come and pray. Let's spread our requests before God. Say to your friend, come and pray with me over this. Let's ask together. Let's knock on the door together. Let's believe God together. We unite our hearts and we pray together. And then we open ourselves up to receive from God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to just ask Benson just to bring a short testimony about faith this morning. Could you do that, Benno? Just to step. Benson really, this man has really blessed us. Benson has a gift of faith. He does. He does have a gift of faith. And I just want him just to share briefly with us, just to stir faith this morning. And then we're going to pray together. Amen. Thanks, Benno.
Amen. About a month ago, we had a high-profile delegation from the U.S. Embassy to come to our project. We were working together with Cindy and others. And they asked us, because it's a high-profile delegation, we have to give our personal bibliographical or biographical details in terms of who you are. And so the USAID know me as Dr. Benson, but I decided that day I'll write it Reverend Dr. Benson because because it's not just Dr. Benson. The reason is in the year 1998, I was at ESSA, a school that is where I did theology, and working in the church, doing research, and Craig, that was the year Craig came. And Craig, we were talking, and he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm doing my honors. I'm just about to finish. He says, wow, Dr. Benson. And when he said that, it hit me because I had no intention of going beyond honors. I'm an old guy. I just want to do this honors and get it away with. But as I went home, I could feel in my spirit that this man is prophesying over you. Though he didn't lay his hand on you, but I took that word with me. That one of these days, I will become a doctor. And today, if I call myself doctor, it's because of that prophecy. People of God, we serve a living God. We can ask him everything and he will do it. He will do it. Sometimes we think we are nothing. But in God, we are somebody. Because he knows us. And I want to encourage us. And for me, I thank God about a few weeks before I went to high school, that's when I gave my life to the Lord. And when I went into high school, one of the first things I was taught is that give and you shall return, you shall get. And giving is not just money, but give yourself. Give what you have. Anything God has given you, give it. Give yourself to prayer, your time with others and all that, and God will bless you. And that has changed my life. Because I'm telling you, even at that time, we were in Scripture Union. And I remember I learned that every money I get from my parents, I will give a tenth to the Scripture Union. We used to call it dues. And I'm telling you, because of that, all my schooling from grade 8 until I finished university, everything was paid for. I was given a scholarship. In fact, at one time, I was given 3 different scholarships, and I was asked to choose one. So I checked which one has the highest money. People, this is not tales. I'm telling you the truth. Our God is a living God. The things we are learning from here, if you will put it into practice, things will change. When I was studying at ESSA, there was a doctor, a medical, in fact, he was the dean of the medical school in Durban. His name was Philpott, if I remember right. And he said he was going to train us how we can start our own organization using strategic plan. And the moment he mentioned that, it touched me. There were about 20 of us who were students, and I was the only one left in the classroom. Everybody left. It was boring and all that, and I took it upon myself to do strategic plan. And the first thing that came out of that strategic plan is what we call ECAP. Today it's still functioning, and then CCP came out of it. And I remember sitting with Craig and the others in the church who were leaders at the time and said, this CCP is going to go places. They said, no, let's do something small. You know, something, just help the people around us. Today, this organization that we call CCP, though we are in a third division, but we play in the Premier League. It's because of what God is doing. People, let's trust God. He will be able to do amazing things for us. Let's challenge God. And God is a faithful God. When we come to Him and we pray, He's able to do it. We've been through financial difficulties. Through. And Craig was talking about us. One day I felt God say, begin to pray. Begin to pray. And we started praying. The first thing that came when that very day when we prayed was that our funding was cut by 36%. And it looked very bad. But do you know that despite all these things, when your funding is cut, it means if your salary should be cut, everything should be cut. But I can tell you that not a cent of our salary is touched. Hallelujah. And 90% of our salaries, of our budget is salaries. How it came about, I don't know. It's only God. I'm sure an accountant sitting here will be shaking the head and say, this guy is lying. But that is the truth. The budget has been cut. 90% or so of the budget comes to salary, but not a single cent is touched. How it came about, I don't know. So this morning, as Craig is urging us to pray, I've seen prayer works. Prayer works. There are times, let me confess this, I can't tell people what the Lord has done, because sometimes people become, those who don't pray become envious. And it becomes a problem. Don't be envy, pray, and you let people envy you. Hallelujah. And that's what we are challenging us today, that God is going to do wonderful things for us. The hymn writer says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. What a friend we have in Jesus. We should just come to Him. We should come with our burdens to Him, and He will answer them for us. Amen.
So folks, what I'd like us to do is just, I'm going to pray in a moment. I just want us to stand and to hold hands together. And I want us to pray as a congregation. Can we do that? And let's stand and just grab the hand of the person next to you. Let's grab the hand of the person next to you. And I'm just, we'll end off by praying for the nation. But if I just put 2 questions up there. Firstly, if you have any financial need this morning in your own life, I want to pray for you today. What financial need do you have today? What area of a financial need do you have today? And I just want you to pray for the person next to you. Can be on the right and the left. And I want you just to pray also for your own needs today. So Lord, these are my needs. These are my needs. Lord, I'm worried about what's happening in the nation. Taxes, petrol, all these things, Lord, are they going to go up and up? But thank you, our God will supply all our needs according to His riches in glory. Hallelujah. The gospel has changed us. I know a man who hung on the cross, who redefined who I am. The gospel has changed everything. It's made me generous. It's caused me to believe. The same God who's brought me this far will take me into the future. And so this morning, I want you to lift up to the Lord your need this morning in the area of finances and money. So, and we're going to pray, Lord, give us today our daily bread. We can extend it to other things as well. Let's lift our voices and ask God today. Pray for yourself, then pray for the person next to you. Pray for yourself first, and then pray for the person next to you. Thank you, Lord. Let's lift our voices together as we pray together. Tell God your need this morning, whatever it is. Thank you, Jesus.